Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Warning. We have learned that some liberals choke on even a small piece of Pastor Scheidbach's mind. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor of Lighthouse Baptist Church, your brain masseur. Listen, the Senate punched in the nose, Gorsuch confirmed. Assad punched in the nose, right. The world put on notice that America has a president who understands we are at war with jihadi Islam, you know, the desire to destroy this country from without. And furthermore, a president who refuses to play the Russian pragmatist ploy of the enemy of my enemy is my friend, what nonsense. We must know full well that if the enemy of your enemy is your enemy, then nevertheless, when your enemy is the enemy of your enemy, they remain to be your enemy. That's where it always ends up anyway. We have a president who refuses to align with butchering murderers like Assad, the kind of thing that was done before, you know, to fight an enemy that desires to destroy us from without. And we have a congressional leadership now in both houses that understands we are at war with an ideologically committed left that want to destroy this country from within. It's a good day to be American. So, my friends, get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Bible Thump Alert, Chuck Schumer, plug your ears. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it, and he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? Proverbs 24:11-12. 59 Tomahawk missiles were launched and successfully destroyed a Syrian military base, an air base, and that to send a clear message to Bashar al-Assad that using chemical weapons will not be ignored by this U.S. president. Quote, the missiles that were launched, that was yesterday, by the way, about 4:40 a.m., and I believe that's Syrian local time, from the USS Ross and the USS Porter, Navy destroyers in the eastern Mediterranean Sea, targeted al-Shayrat air base in Homs province, from which the Syrian military allegedly launched chemical weapons attacks on civilians last Tuesday. Now, what kind of problems is this going to stir up? You know, Syria is what many call a client state to Russia. Now, folks, a client state was a relationship between two states in which the client state was conquered. A state that was subjected to the control of a larger one, or an empire, like the Roman Empire. The Roman Republic sometimes used this as a way of establishing control of a region, and they would accept this as opposed to having to go in and just destroy the whole country or whatever and subdue it and then absorb it into the empire. Now, the benefit to the subordinate state was it allowed them to retain their national identity and continue governing. And often it served some financial interests and so on. Client states were under the controlling influence of the empire, limited in their independence, but the client state received the protection of its master. The point is, calling Syria a client state of Russia would mean that Syria is a subordinate partner with Russia and is in some measure under Russia's protection. However, it's important to say neither Russia nor Syria would use this term to describe their relationship. Now we know Russia, Syria, Iran, all that. They have a relationship that dates way back into ancient times. But with regard to our immediate interests, it was back in 1980 that Russia and Syria entered into a treaty of friendship and cooperation. It was a 20-year treaty with a provision that allowed it to automatically renew after every 5 years beyond the 20, so long as neither side terminates the agreement, and it is in force today. I have read through it, and while there is no express commitment to military aid in conflict with another power, Article 6 could be used by Syria to press Russia for military assistance in the event that we have a war with Syria. Now, Russia's President Vladimir Putin, we are told, quote, regards the strike as an aggression against a sovereign nation, end quote. And Russia claims, quote, the Syrian army doesn't have chemical weapons, end quote, which it claims was confirmed by UN inspectors. Quote, the Russian president said he sees the U.S. missile strikes as an attempt to distract attention from civilian casualties in Iraq. This according to a Russian spokesman named Peskov. Now, the Kremlin spokesman added, quote, this step deals significant damage to the U.S.-Russian ties, which were already in a deplorable state, end quote. However, those accustomed to Russo-speak, you know that you've got to listen closely and you need to listen to the right people to know what is really the message Russia wants to send to Trump. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, that's Russia's top diplomat. He said you've got to listen to this all the way to the end because you know it's in the last line usually that you'll find the actual message intended for leadership of the other country. It expresses the final disposition of the matter. The rest is noise intended to placate the interests of others or to posture Russia to look good in the world or to look in a certain way, this kind of thing. And so TASS, a Russian news source, quotes Sergei Lavrov saying, quote, the U.S. missile attack on a Syrian airbase is an act of aggression under a far-fetched pretext and is reminiscent of the 2003 invasion of Iraq, end quote. Now, he goes on to compare this to what he and all liberals and most conservatives today believe was the false pretext for war we used to go into Iraq. And after that, Sergei said, quote, it is regrettable that all these causes do more harm to the already damaged relations between Russia and the United States. And then he concludes this way, quote, hope remains that these provocations will not entail irreversible effects, end quote. That's Russian speak for Russia continues to hope relations with the U.S. will move forward and has no desire to turn this into a total meltdown of U.S.-Russia relations. Okay? Which is why, by the way, Putin deployed exactly one frigate, a warship, with limited missile defenses to their port in Syria. And we remember that Trump did advise Russia of his intention to strike the airbase in Syria in advance. Folks, this is Putin's nightmare. His relationship with Syria is going to require him to posture as aggressively responding to all of this, but he doesn't want an open conflict with America, not militarily. But listen, we attacked a military target of one of his allies. We destroyed that airbase. I mean, you know, we stepped up and punched Assad directly in the nose. That's what my dad taught me to do, you know. If you want to make a decisive statement of your resolve and you're against an enemy who is certainly going to attack you, then throw the first punch and aim directly at his nose. That's what my dad told me. Yeah, I've used it to made good use of that advice more than once. This was a military attack, and no one in any frame of mind remotely considered reasonable could possibly interpret it as anything but an act of war. Now Russia is going to throw all sorts of dust and rhetorical flourish, assault on America. It's a facade. If there was anything substantive to Putin's response, listen, there would have been a far greater show of force in his response. I mean, hey, at least two frigates, okay, would have been dispatched. Actually, I would not be too concerned just yet of some kind of a war going on between America and Russia. If Putin deployed his most serious warships and along with that began beefing up his forces in Syria, or if he sent a missile over the bow of one of our ships or a shot over the bow type thing in the Med, or chose this as a time to do a flyby with his jets buzzing one of our ships. Now we're moving into a war footing with Russia. One frigate to their own port in Syria is nothing more than window dressing for the world, and no doubt an effort to give assurance to Assad. Furthermore, what has been Assad's response to this? He has been amazingly quiet, hasn't he? I mean, the silence from Assad on this is deafening. I guess he's going to let Russia take the lead on the response. Now, Syria has not declared war on America. Russia has not declared war on America. We know that Russia, Syria, Iran form a sort of triumvir of nations in that region, aligned to one another, supporting their mutual interests and so on. And Iran has not said anything about any of this. Trump is going out of his way to say that this was not a declaration of war on Syria. Russia and Syria, at least at present, seem willing to accept that. Now, this is a very strange use of America's sword. Reagan did something similar when he deployed forces to get Gaddafi's attention there in Libya. But that was responding to a very direct attack on the U.S., in fact, an attack at him. Likewise, Grenada. But this is the first time in my memory or to my knowledge that America attacked a military target of a sovereign nation in an open show of military force simply to send a message to a foreign power that they had better stand down. And this goes way past a shot over the bow here. It's probably the clearest example of imperialism I think I've ever seen from America. I mean, the nearest thing like it would be when Israel sent in her jets to destroy nuclear plants in Iran. In any event, Assad did not drop his bombs on Americans, nor is there any reason to think he had any intention of targeting Americans or American forces. So the argument could be made that it was entirely an internal affair, right? I think Rand Paul is kind of moving in that direction, which I find somewhat. Anyway, I can't get into that right now. This attack was very simply this. Trump was repulsed at the behavior of that weak-chinned dictator in Syria, and he used the American military might to punish him for his bad behavior. That's about the size of it. So one asks, what sort of precedent has he established here? Good night. And so what's my take on all of this? Well, frankly, I'm still reeling from it and the implications of it. As you know, I believe Christ Jesus ordained the civil sword of force for the very purpose of punishing evildoers just like Assad, Romans 13:1-6. So on that score, I don't have any problem at all with deploying our sword against that wicked, murdering dictator. And I think it's worthy of mention that this is something Assad has done before. And supposedly, Obama, right, scared him into destroying all his chemical weapons. Well, I guess not, huh? Right? Oh, and that was something that supposedly was confirmed by the UN, right? When are we going to get serious about this? And of course, we never believed Obama's girl jeans roar was going to be taken seriously by any foreign power. He was despised and virtually ignored. And now it turns out we were correct about Assad's promises to destroy his chemical weapons, which, of course, admits he had them. Many, by the way, which no doubt he acquired from Hussein's Iraq. Furthermore, I believe a Christian cannot turn his face away from ISIS crucifying Christians and brutalizing children and murdering innocents in the name of that wicked petty god they call Allah, the way Obama did. Not any more than now we could turn our attention away from the use by Assad of chemical weapons, having these children writhing and foaming at the mouth in the streets and killing them, any more than any decent human being could excuse turning their eyes away from Auschwitz and then pretend, well, it's an internal matter. You get the idea. Proverbs 24:11-12 make it clear. If you refuse to render assistance to those drawn into death and pretend you knew it not, well, you're held accountable for the slaughter as an abettor to the perpetrator. On the other hand, I am concerned that Trump might have jumped into this without the sort of evidence he needs to fully justify his actions. Now, I hope not. I hope he has concrete proof that Assad's army, or Air Force in this case, dropped this chemical weapon bomb. And it's the sort of proof that meets the standard of beyond reasonable doubt. Because if Assad finds a little wiggle room of deniability, then we're going to have Trump get the Bush treatment all over again. On the other hand, if Assad does not have the wiggle room of deniability, then like Hussein, he ought to be hunted down and brought to justice. In other words, on the one hand, will it be said Trump moved too hastily? On the other hand, will it be said Trump didn't do enough? If there is sufficient evidence to launch a military attack on a country, then that evidence ought to be thought sufficient to take Assad into custody and try him for crimes against humanity. In other words, while I certainly agree the sword of civil justice should be swift in the execution of it, it is important, is it not, that we establish the justification of its use. One thing is certain. This is a far cry from the typical Obama response. Hallelujah. Another thing is certain. Trump has sent a very clear message, has he not, to all the tyrants in the Middle East and around the world, for that matter, that America is not going to stand by while tin-horned dictators target innocent civilians in this horrendous manner. Gas chambers for Jews, crosses for Christians, chemical weapons upon women and children considered political rebels will not be ignored by this president. But aren't you a bit suspicious with Hillary and Schumer coming out in support of Trump in this matter? And Pelosi, too. And Hillary, by the way, declaring for an attack on Assad before Trump launched it. Hold on to the break. I'll be right back and I'll give you my take on this, and we'll exult in our most recent victory over the Democrats. Gorsuch has been placed on the Supreme Court. Oh, yeah.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If you find yourself suddenly feeling like someone turned on a bright light inside your head, and this is followed by a sense of euphoria, described by some as a feeling that you have just been enveloped into the warm and comforting embrace of the truth, then you are a lights on listener. However, if you experience sudden bursts of rage, uncontrolled trembling of the lower lip, sweaty palms, and mental disorientation, then you are definitely a lights-off listener. Now that you know what symptoms to look for, call 888-770-8000 and leave your message. Is it lights on or lights off? Call 888-770-8000. The pastor is ready to receive your message. Your brain massage will continue in a moment.
Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheinbach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind men's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. The Thought Provocateur is available on the web. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheinbach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind men's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. The Brain Massage Show releases truth antibodies in the brain that attack and destroy liberal lies. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheinbach, pastor at Lighthouse Baptist Church, your brain masseur and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling "The Enemy is on the March." And it's an enemy that will steal from us our liberties. Wait, the dove just told me. They have tracked the plane that dropped the chemical weapon bomb and have confirmed it was Assad's Air Force. What done it? Well, that's good. That's good news. I hope it holds and Trump won't fold. If Trump showed us anything, and he showed us plenty, I don't think he's the type that'll fold, no matter how much pressure the MSM pile on him. But what's with Hillary coming out? What was that? This article says hours before the attack, quote unquote. Hillary called for a strike on Syria in response to the chemical attack. It is interesting, you know. I'm convinced that Hillary was tipped off that the attack was forthcoming. She does have some ties in that direction, you know. And there are some loyalists planted in there, as we've discussed before. And I think she decided to reinsert herself into the affairs of state by calling for her carriers to carry her onto the stage. And I mean this almost literally, for a public announcement in which she would ostensibly comfort her supporters with news that she's okay. She's taken a beating, you know, but she's okay. She's going to survive. She's going to be okay. Don't worry about me. You know, even though the American voter is still too misogynistic to recognize it's time to give the power of the presidency to a woman. But no, don't worry. I'll be okay. And then, you know, after her handlers had to literally handle her, help her up onto the stage, and then she sort of shuffles across there to her place, she says, "I'm okay, but for my country, I'm not so sure my country is going to be okay." And then she calls for an attack on Syria a little bit later. Trump orders an attack on Syria just hours later. Schumer comes out in support for Trump's attack on Syria. And even Pelosi chimes in with support for the attack. Other Dems are beside themselves with confusion and consternation. Why are Schumer and Pelosi and Hillary supporting this? Folks, watch out. And by that, I mean you Christians. You listen, watch and pray. This is an old trick the Dems have used before. Remember, they were all in support of Bush going into Iraq. Until after Bush committed fully to the mission. Then one by one, they began to turn on him. Kind of flip-flop back and forth a little bit. They just kind of follow the wind vane of public sentiment. And then they used it to destroy his presidency. Schumer and Pelosi and Hillary. I'm sure they hope Trump will get stuck in the muck of another Middle East war that they can use then to destroy his presidency. Because that's what they're about. They've already learned they can get away with this sort of thing. They've learned that they can, they don't have to worry about it. They can go all gung-ho for the war. And then, you know, later on, at the earliest opportunity, they can nom it. You know, Vietnam, what they did with Nam. You remember going into the Iraq war. I was all in favor of it. And I continue to think it was the right thing to do, by the way. I don't care where the wind vane's blowing. That's not what I'm made of. I believe it was the right thing to do. I believe Hussein had WMD, and I believe that he used them against his political opponents. In fact, that's something that it was proved. No one disputes that. And I believe that he sent that WMD into Syria to hide it, leading into the war. Now, there's evidence supporting this, but we're not going to revisit all that. Because the MSM and the liberals that they serve, they used the simple fact that very little, if any, WMD were found in Iraq after the war to pummel Bush into near oblivion, turning virtually everyone against them and effectively naming Iraq, exactly as I feared would happen. Now, they're going to do the same thing here if we're not careful. So long as those pictures of the children killed by the chemical attack, foaming at the mouth and writhing dead, some 80 dead, I think 25 of them children, and adults suffering from the attack but recovering, we give reports of seeing the bombs dropped on them from the sky. The Dems will demagogue it. They're going to use the public sentiment against this sort of thing to emotionally connect with the people they love so much to use to further their agenda. But they're liars. As soon as they can, as soon as they see the wind vane turn in opposition to this, they'll bail. And the MSM, by the way, will blow with all their might. At a certain point, they're gonna let loose of all their blowhards to spin the story to capitalize on any possible doubt, any wiggle room of deniability. And they'll use that to shift public sentiment on this. And when the lying libs see the wind vane begin to turn, they're going to come off with, well, we believe Trump, but he lied to us. We believe the reports, but there they were. Trump lied, my son died. That'll be the chant. They'll use it to destroy Trump's presidency. I hope he didn't make a misstep here. Or maybe Hillary, Schumer, Pelosi, no, Assad did do it. And they want to be on the right side of this or get ahead of it. Who knows for sure, but watch and pray, my friend. I understand some children were killed in the U.S. attack on the airbase in Syria. That's what the U.K. is reporting. 4 children killed. I think I read somewhere else that 8 civilians total were killed in that attack. So you wonder, is it already getting set up? Now, are they beginning to gin up the narrative that will finally turn this into a huge bungle on Trump's part, a demonstration of his ineptness and so on, etc.? Of course, children getting killed in an air attack is news. And I understand the interesting juxtaposition of irony that this does create. You know, Trump, moved by pictures of children being killed by Assad's use of chemical weapons, retaliates in an action that kills children. So, but hey, there is a great difference between someone dropping bombs in a village where women and children are part of the target of the attack, and then the unintentional killing of children in a military attack, if that actually did happen. We'll have to wait and see. Furthermore, as everyone has agreed, there is a difference to be drawn between use of conventional weapons and the use of chemical warfare. Now, I know, what about Hiroshima? What about Nagasaki? Did we not drop those bombs on cities, including women and children, intending to show such forces would break the will of the Japanese to continue fighting? And was not Assad then merely following the same theory? You know, use such gruesome force that the will of the resistance will melt, will be broken, and they'll yield and stop the killing by surrender. Well, remember first that we did not deploy the nuclear option until after we dropped millions of leaflets warning of the coming attack and encouraging them to leave the city. The fact that the Japanese government told the people to ignore the warning, well, puts that on them. Hey, Team Trump! Right now, the leadership of the left, and I understand the sentiment of the whole world, is in support of this action. As I am, by the way. But we had better watch and pray, because the devil is a clever liar. Remember Iraq. We all thrilled at the pictures of freed Iraqi people holding up their purple finger, having had the privilege for the first time in their lives to vote for their rulers. But count the days from that high point to when Bush was almost summarily dismissed as wrong-headed about this, about his Iraq policy, and beat upon by the very people that before supported him and encouraged him in his efforts. They nommed Iraq. And if they can, they'll Bush Trump. Get it? I think Trump just might have made a brilliant move, however. I mean, if he has the smoking gun proof he needs to stave off the efforts of the MSM and others to change the direction of American sentiment and foreign sentiment on this, think of what he has done. Now, first, as I mentioned in the first segment, Russia is not going to make a total break from America over this. This could turn to the point that Russia decides to dump Assad and call for a regime change. After all, if we get a leader in Syria that we can work with, well, then we could team up with Russia and devastate ISIS once and for all. You understand that Assad is what is in the way of a Russia-U.S. combined effort to deal with ISIS in Syria. Now, further, this could interrupt the rising of Daniel's bear. This could be something that serves to hold back those developments that lead to a one-world government ruled by Antichrist. Sunday night, be there. It could set back developments of great concern to us and the joining together of Russia, China, Iran, and Syria that's been going on. Man, I'm not even going to have time to get into North Korea. Old Kim Jong-un, he's walking a very thin tightrope right now with China. I want you to think about this. While China's president, Xi Jinping, is visiting the White House for his first meeting with President Trump, a meeting taking place at a time when there are serious tensions developing between America and North Korea, one of China's client states, if you will. When Trump is actually sending messages of being fed up with North Korea's saber-rattling and incendiary rhetoric, tiring of the constant threats, China's president is visiting the White House at the time our warships are pummeling Syria's airbase. I mean, like, you know, while they're eating, they're smiling at one another across the table while the missiles are landing on that Syrian airbase. What a picture. Man, I sure wish I could have been at that dinner table. Perhaps China will go to Kim Jong-un and, well, un him. You know, tie him down somehow from any further shenanigans, or simply walk away and give Trump the discreet nod. You know that Trump notified Russia of his plan to attack Syria. Russia didn't say anything. And I think we can be relatively sure Putin has no personal fondness for Assad, nor does China have any personal fondness for Un. You suppose these guys are going to let Trump clean house? This would certainly open the door to allow these states, that's Russia and America, to work together to eliminate ISIS. I'll speak to the prophetic implications of all this on Sunday night. Hey, way to go, GOP! The Senate went nuclear, and they were right to do so. I've said so much about this already, I don't really want to go back over it all. But if you are interested in my take on all that, go back and listen to my last two shows. And you'll see why I think the Senate did the right thing. They were justified, and they did the thing that was necessary. Perhaps our conservative leadership is beginning more generally now to understand that we are at war. Praise God we have a president who understands we are at war with jihadi Islam, and I think he's setting the stage for an all-out attack on ISIS that will blow them away. And might, you know, look and listen to this. Now, if the Muslim people are so foolish as to continue holding up and propping up the hands of these monsters and people like them, it just could, this could bring down the whole Muslim barrier that stands now as a wall against the gospel in the Middle East. And thank God, apparently we have a conservative leadership in both houses that understands that we are at war with an ideologically committed enemy of freedom that is intractable and will never, never yield unless they're overwhelmed in defeat. All legal and appropriate measures must be taken to defeat them. You can't work with them, you have to defeat them. The nuclear option is both legal and appropriate and necessary. Way to go, Senate. Good job, McConnell. You did good. Folks, it's time to wrap up another brain massage. I trust the electrical lights have been stimulated to run freely through your brain, leaping the synapse and eliminating the mind, bringing it to that calm blue glow of satisfaction with a warm glowing red center that signals your mind has just been enveloped into the warm embrace of truth. I've lit the lamps in the Church Belfry Arch. Now you call, let me know, see they are on 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. Leave a message for me on our listener response hotline or go to our website, brainmassage.net. Brainmassage.net. That's as simple as you can get it. Two words, brain massage, put together into one. You know how it goes? Brainmassage.net. If you're in a hurry, you can give me a lights on or lights off when you call and just hang up. But if you will, leave a message for me. And when you go to the website, you'll see there are places to write me an email. Please connect with me and let me know your thoughts. I always read my emails and respond. And please prayerfully consider sending us a gift to help us with broadcast costs. I mean, there is a cost involved in doing all this. And we would very much appreciate those of you who enjoy the show and appreciate it to help us out with those costs. So on that website, you can click a donate button and you can send a donation to help us keep this thing going on. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
How would you like to encounter God? Are you ready for a renewed experience of God with a fresh encounter this year? Or maybe you've never experienced God and he doesn't seem real to you. Get ready to encounter God and know that he is real. Go to santamarialighthouse.org. For a complete brain massage experience, tune in Saturday at 12 noon